Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. We just like to say welcome home, whether this is your church home or not. We love to say welcome home. We're glad you're here with us. As you come here, it's a place of God's grace. It's a no judgment zone. So this is a place where it's okay to worship where you're comfortable at. And if it's just sitting down, that's great. If you want to stand up, raise your hands. If you want to dance, that's good. Just don't kick sand on your neighbors. That's all we ask. But as we come together because we really believe that God has brought you here and he has a message that he really wants to speak to you, whether it's in the music, in the words, preached or shared, or just in as beautiful as creation, as he keeps revealing his majesty to us. And so we want to recognize your presence with us today. So in your worship folder, there's a connection card. If you could be so kind to fill it out, we'd love to hear how you heard about us, where you're coming from. Well, to be able to just recognize you and say welcome also to you. My name is Jason. I have the privilege to be the senior pastor here, and we also now have our director of ministry here, Steve, that's going to be giving the word. And today, a little unique, Christy is leading worship with us for the first time, so we're grateful to have her with us today, too. And you get an opportunity to connect. We'd love to connect afterwards for prayer and conversations to connect. We're in a series that we're just walking through parts of Genesis. And we've been hitting Abraham, and we've been kind of sitting in Abraham, and now we get another layer of Abraham. From now, he's in the mature state, and actually we see some of the transitioning of his faith and passing on and watching it go down and how it's lived out for the generations today, and it's pretty exciting. So with that, I want to invite you to rise as we begin our worship together. In your worship folder, there was a small piece of paper. We're going to talk about prayer today. And as we gather in worship, we want to just focus on this petition of the Lord's Prayer. We say it, but what does it really mean? So together we say that, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What does this mean, all of us? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. Father, we thank you for all the gifts of your grace and your spirit you give us to do that. May your spirit move in us, speak to us today, that we may walk in the light in your will in all our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great the chasm been between us. How high the to where my
Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that we get to gather in freedom and be under your blanket of creation. And the beauty of this day is just a blessing in itself. We hope that we can bless you today and walk in your light, walk in your faith.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. What he did for me in Calvary,
trust in God, my Savior, who will never, never, never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, who
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for filling this beach with your presence. And we thank you that you will speak to us today through your glorious word. So all praise is yours as we come before you in this time and place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good to see you this morning. I'm Steve, Director of Ministries, which basically just means I do whatever the pastor says. So I'm glad to be here to do that. And as he mentioned, we continue our look at the life of Abraham. And Abraham, when we started in Genesis, he was already an old guy. And we look at him today, and he's getting even older. He's moving right along. But what a great story of in his life today. Something that, a great lesson that we need to learn. As we're talking about faith and family, I would suggest to you this morning that it begins with prayer. And something very interesting happens in Genesis, where we are, chapter 24, in that God had told Abraham, I'm going to build a great nation through you. And at the time, he didn't even have a son. He had no way of knowing how the nation was going to be built. And then God gave he and Sarah Isaac. And now he has a son. And in short order, Isaac wasn't very old when God said, take him to this mountain and sacrifice him. So the only son he had, who he had been told would, from whom would come a great nation, he's then told to sacrifice him. And he got as far as a dagger above him, and then God said, no, no, I've got a different way, and he provided a ram for sacrifice. The test, you see, was, will you do it? Are you willing? And so now, today, we see that Abraham's faith has grown so far that he asked his servant to find a wife for Isaac, because he knows that God will provide that wife. And so he breaks from tradition, which is that fathers, the patriarchs of the families, normally arrange marriages for their children. And Abraham decides, no, God's going to arrange this one, and I'll just send my servant to find her. So let's look at this story. We've got a lot of verses today, so I'm going to speed read. All right, so we're in verse 1 of chapter 24. Now, how was that? Did you get any of that? Okay, well, yeah, it was good, right? Okay, let's do that again, all right? Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son, Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which he came? And Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels? Let her be the one whom you've appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. So his prayer is, show me the right woman by what she does. And he sits down to wait and watch. There's a startling statistic, and that is that since 2010, that's 15 years, divorce rate among first marriages is up to 47%. 47%. That means that when you stand at that altar, having spent all that money to get Uncle Leo in the room, you got a 50-50 chance of making it. Now, I don't know about you, but I like better odds than that. I like way better odds. So there must be wrong with the system, the way we're choosing, the way we're coming together. And that's why point number one, prayer should be a prerequisite to any decision. This servant was charged by his master to pick the woman that would marry his son and therefore be the beginning of this new nation. Their offspring would begin to produce more offspring. This gang was a big deal. He wasn't just sent to find somebody for Isaac to date. He wasn't sent to bring back three or four or five women like Love Island so we could just figure it out. No, by the way, and I'm going to offend somebody, so get ready for it. But how dumb are we that we think reality shows are reality shows? You know, at the end of the show where they're showing the credits and you see that word produced by and there's a list this long, you know what that means? Those are the people who decide what's going to happen. They bring the drama to the TV show. And I know some of you are hanging on every word the Golden Bachelor has to say. But can I tell you something? I don't think true love is found in Hollywood. I don't think true love is found by me answering to my desires and lusts and making it only about what I see. True love comes from who I know. True love comes from a bonding together that in my experience only God can do. God should pick for us. Prayer is a prerequisite to every big decision, whether it's a job choice, whether it's a move, whether it's a life mate. Prayer before medical decisions. Prayer. I want to know what God wants. Don't you? I think really we do. We're just not sure we know how to get there. and we're afraid we won't like. Let's face it. The problem with submission is that we're not going to like who we have to listen to. And yet, we're blowing it when we operate without prayer. How many bad decisions have we made in our lives because we didn't stop to pray? Prayer is a new focus, not a new focus, but a bigger focus for hope these days. We are beginning to use prayer more than we ever have. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but God is doing something new and fresh with our fellowship. God is bringing people to a life-changing experience through Him because of the ministry of hope. And you know what that does to your staff? Scares us to death. And it drives us to our knees, praying for God's wisdom, praying for God's direction, praying to know what it is that God wants us to do, praying for what's next. Praying for what's next. Prayer is a prerequisite. Look at Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Every situation. Abraham's instructions, letter A, demonstrate how his faith had grown. He's gone from, I want you to leave the land you know, and I want you to go where I'll show you, but you don't need to know now. And by faith, he got up and he went. Then he grew to the point of being willing to sacrifice his son. And now he's at the point of finding a wife for his son. And he once again is demonstrating his faith. He's not even going to his homeland to look for the wife. He's going to let his servant do it because he trusts God to come through. So his faith is growing. Our faith should be growing. We're called to grow in the Lord, and part of that step is through prayer. It needs to become a working part of our life, something we automatically do. The scripture, in fact, says, pray without ceasing. We're always constantly aware of God on His throne. And we can talk to Him at any moment, at any time. Because the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You see, Abraham knew he could send the servant, and the servant would trust God to show the right woman because he knew, God knew before he even had to ask. He knew. He said that to his servant. God will provide. I'm just sending you to find her. He wasn't telling his servant to pick her. He was telling his servant to find her. Big difference. The servants didn't sit around a campfire drawing out a pro and con list. No. He simply went to the Lord and he said, we need a wife for Isaac. You see, B, prayer is not manipulating God. It's seeking God. Sometimes we go with the attitude in prayer that I need to change God's mind about this. You know, many people have that midnight prayer. Have you ever promised God, you get me out of this, and I promise I'm going to start going to church? Some of you may be sitting here because you said that one time. We negotiate. We use prayer to kind of manipulate God. We think we can change God's mind. Let me tell you, prayer, the purpose of it is simply to seek God. His will, what He wants. We want to be on the same page as our Heavenly Father. We're not trying to bring Him to our page. That's not how it works. We want to be on His page. A lack of prayer leads to depending on ourselves. And I think the Bible's pretty clear when it says, lean not on your own understanding. Basically, it's saying, don't do that. Don't lean on what you know. Don't rely on yourselves. Prayer is our way of relying upon God. And that's what Abraham is doing. So Abraham goes for this wife, and he starts by an observation. When our daughter Amy was in high school, she was at home one evening, and I could tell she was upset. Now, you don't always know that with teenage girls, because they can cry over anything. So you're never really sure. So, you know, being the brilliant, loving, never made a mistake once father that I was, I waded into her room one night and said, "What's up?" And I was not ready for what I was about to receive. The Christmas dance was a couple of weeks away, and my precious treasure didn't have a date. And this is creating sorrow. Her little heart was breaking. And I said, "It's that important to you?" "Yes." Now, my daughter had also not yet had a boyfriend. So I'm not sure who she thought was going to ask her to the dance, but she had expectations. And so I got her mom. I said, "Amy's in a dilemma here. We don't have a date for the Christmas dance, and I'm not taking her. So we're going to need to bring out the big guns." Now, some of you may be thinking, "Oh, so you had a friend and you asked him to ask his son to ask your daughter." No. Nope. Right then and there, I said, "We're going to ask God for a date to the dance." And I wish you could have seen the fear in Amy's face. Because I don't think she thought God was going to get her a good enough looking date. And we did. We prayed as a family. "Lord, you know how important this is. Now to me, it's just a dumb little dance. It'll be over in a couple of hours. But to Amy, it's a big deal. Could you send her someone that would be perfect?" perfect for her to go to the dance with. Week went by, nothing. 2 weeks go by, nothing. We're a week out from the dance, and she hits the door like a tornado. She is dancing. Her arms are in the air. She's hugging. Excuse me, let me say that again. She's hugging her father. I got a date. I got a date. I got a date. Hang on, sister. What you got was an answered prayer. That's what you got. That's who gets the glory first. Now, here's my point, because I know you're thinking, could you get to one? My point is, God answered that prayer, and I am proud to say that same young man is my son-in-law today. When I pray, baby, things happen. And since coming together and coming into the family, he has become a true believer in Christ. His parents have become true believers in Christ. God started a bunch of dominoes falling because my daughter wanted a date to the dance. Abraham needs a wife. And so he sends his servant. His servant's answered prayer begins with an observation. Look at Genesis 20, verse 15. Before he finished praying, now catch this. Before he's even done praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She's the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water from your jar." The first thing he wanted her to do, if she was the one, was to give him a drink. And he asked her for that drink. Letter A, we need to be watchful for God's answers. When we go to the Lord in prayer, the worst thing we can do is not be looking for his answer. So many times we pray about things because right now today, that's a big deal. Right now today, I'm in trouble and I need God to do something. But 24 hours from now, I've forgotten all about it because life changed. Circumstance changed. I just got focused on a new shiny object. And we forget that we have laid something at the feet of Christ and we're waiting for his answer. We should be watching for his answer. This servant even made the camels sit down. Everybody down. Because we're going to watch the well and we're going to look for Isaac's wife. We need to be watchful. Because B, God supplies all our needs. All. Everything. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He trusted God. He was simply waiting for the answer. Have you taken something to the Lord recently and you're not even watching? The answer could come right past you. You need to be looking. And then the second step to this prayer answered was confirmation. We read in the scripture here, that she said, "Drink, my Lord," which was the first thing he wanted her to say. And she said it. And she laid her jar down, took it out of her hand, gave him a drink. She had given him a drink. She said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And when the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. And he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And she answered him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor." And she added, "We've plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night." You see, we learn to discern. God shows us confirmation. How can we do that? Romans reminds us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit prays for us. We don't always know what to say. We don't always know what to ask for. But the Spirit will pray for us. God provides for us even if we don't pray. Look at Romans 8. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Can I talk to the dads for just a second? God has given you a tremendous responsibility when He has blessed you, and that word is used on purpose. He has blessed you with a family. He has provided you with a life mate, and He has blessed you with children. Or some of you, as fathers sitting here today, you may have realized, just now learned, you're going to have children. Or dads, we may be sitting here and we've got the blessing of grandchildren. And we all have agreed, if we could just jump to the grandkids, we'd have skipped the kid part. That's fine. But the grandchildren, the children, we have been blessed with them. And God has said, "Dad, you're the shelter. You're the spiritual tent over your family. You set the environment." Now, don't think that I'm telling you, you can always protect your children or your family. That's God's job. But you are responsible to constantly be asking God for their protection. You are to show them the way to God. You're to show them how to be personal with Him. Let them hear you pray. Let them know what you're asking God for. You set the tone, Dad. It's what we're supposed to do. Isaac was about to get a wife. And for this servant, that meant celebration. Look at the end of this chapter. "Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who's not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." Hebrews says, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruits of lips that acknowledge his name." Share the answered prayer. Celebrate. Thank God for his answer. You see, so many times, it's easy for us to forget, to come back and thank God for the answers. Celebrate. That's why the first thing when Amy busted through the door and she's all excited about her date, I had to remind her that it was answered prayer. Because sometimes we get so focused on the answer, we forget who answered it. We forget where it came from. And that requires humility. Final point, we recognize God's answers through a posture of humility. Psalm 25 says, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way." You see, Dad, we sometimes are going to have to admit we don't know. We don't have the answer. And that's when we look for God's answers. Prayer requires humility. It requires looking for the answers. It requires waiting on the Lord for confirmation. And it requires a celebration, a giving God the glory. Our memory verse says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Have you taken your biggest concern to the Lord yet? Are you surrendering it to him? Are you watching for his answer? You see, our families must be built on faith, and our faith grows through prayer. It begins with prayer. Abraham wanted his family built on faith. And that meant even trusting God with his daughter-in-law. Let me remind you, God has a plan. And we need to surrender our plan to his plans. So many times our prayers are, "Father, bless this, bless that, bless this." And we're just asking him to bless our plans. Instead, we need to be humbly surrendering to his plan. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Steve. Let's do that now. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Maybe as you've been listening to this word, it's been you've been having a conversation with God, and so, God, we thank you for man praying without us. That you give us a spirit that intercedes. But Lord, honestly, our hearts just want to lean on you. And I think a lot of times we do a lot of thinking and not a lot of praying. And so God, Just like Abraham had to wait. The servant had to wait for you. I'm just going to take a moment to just let us give our petitions to him. Let the waves just kind of crush in. Maybe just silence our hearts for him. God, there's something beautiful about being your child and sitting at your feet. To knowing your will is good and gracious and best for us. I mean, your loving Father loves to give good to his kids. And so, God, may we just turn to you. May we seek you first and trust that you add all these other things to us. Lord, your righteousness and the things we need, you supply all. And therefore, it's great confidence that we pray to you. It's great confidence we come in prayer to prayer you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we celebrate because God's answering prayers. Amen? Amen. Hey, Madison and Cameron, you want to make your way up here? In your worship folder, we have an offering envelope. And, you know, the Lord, Paul says, you know, you should pray, set aside, pray about it, set aside. There's going to be an offering. We want you to be a joyful giver and celebrating in gratitude for all that God has given you. This is a time of worship, not a time of, oh, have to, got to, need to, guilt to. It's a time of celebration. That we seek him and we say, thank you, God, for all your gifts. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for answering our prayers and caring for us. Thank you that this is all yours and I'm a steward. And I want to honor and worship you with the things you give me. With the resources. It's in your worship folder, is envelope. You know, you can use the text to give or the QR code. All that is an opportunity for you to continue worship. Also, in your worship folder is that connection card. If you could be so kind to flip to the other side of it, on the back side of it, you can share what God has done today. And, you know, the Lord says, man, if you want to be saved, believe. What do you believe? You believe what you've been told, what Jesus has done for you. That he's died for you, taking all your sins and gives you eternal life. He forgives you all your sins. And what he says, if you believe, then be baptized. And so if you haven't done that, please come talk to us. We'd love to meet with you afterwards and connect with you. And the water looks pretty good. I can go up to my knees. You can lay down. You're all good. And also, plan to connect. Hey, it's kind of funny. We planned this worship series. I planned it like months ago, and how this scripture hits about prayer, and we had this night of prayer coming Friday. Can I tell you why we had this night of prayer? This is what's important, folks. Because we just feel a calling to humble ourselves before God. We have our leadership meeting on a ministry plan that God put on our hearts of this church, and God's been implementing it. And we've been seeing fruit from it. And it's like, all right, God, you shaped us, you moved us, and we're seeing it. Well, now we got blanks because we've completed. Like, okay, God, what's next? And I can tell you, I don't want to lead a church to what's next out of what I want. God said, don't plant a church that you got in your head. Plant the one I put in your heart. And I want to be on his page. I want all of us to be on his page. And so Friday night is just about our church coming together as a family in some fellowship. So we need people to sign up for food, to serve one another as a family, and then just get down and humble ourselves before God and just pray and seek him. Be a time of some intercession, but it's just a time of prayer and sit at the feet of the Father and let him speak. If we sit still, it's amazing what God does. And I want to invite you into that. Because I don't want to go into our leadership planning and have one of those sayings. Be like, you make plans, God laughs. You know why God laughs? Because you haven't sought him. God wants us to plan. I think he had a pretty good plan of creation and everything, don't you? I think he's got an incredible plan of salvation. And he wants to bring that to the world through all of us. So what does that look like? How can we be part of changing this world and changing it every day where we're at? That's what we're seeking. And so I invite you to do that. We do really need help with food. I mean, the staff is about prayer and trying to put things together to have an incredible prayerful environment and for us to hear from God. That's really going to be our focus. We need some help with food. So sign up for hospitality. Also, you see the Fall Fest with families. The details there, it's an awesome, and the women have a painting event. Really encourage those fellowship times. And then you see the opportunities to serve in those men. Help pass the faith to the younger generation. Come to worship 8 o'clock, and they'll go help serve with kids and have a great time on the Fall Fest. Let's men and women step up and do that, okay? It's a great opportunity. Also, I have the opportunity. God has brought Madison and Cameron here. And, you know, they checked us out for several months. They did an interview. They had me sit down underneath a lamp. It was really hard. No. But what I love about them, I'm saying that because they sought the Lord about coming here. It just wasn't, oh, this is a church that meets here and it's convenient. They're like, God, we want to be fed. We want something deep. We want to be in your word. And then we want to honor you as a couple and jump in and serve and bless. And so when I say that you come into a membership covenant, they've already made a covenant, and now they're making it publicly with you and I. And so being baptized, professing your faith in Jesus Christ, being agreement with Hope on the Beach Church, LCMS Church, mission, vision, theology, and structure, you're now led by the Holy Spirit, unite with this church family. In doing so, we just summarize it this way. I protect the unity of the church because God is the unity. God is the head. We follow him together with love with each other. We share in the responsibility of our church for praying for it, inviting others, and being a witness and warmly welcoming others and serving in the ministry of our church, using our gifts and talents, equipping, growing, being the missionary that God's called us to be, and support the testimony of our church by attending and supporting in our tithing. And so with that, I ask that is your heart desire to live out this covenant amongst Hope on the Beach Church and say yes with the help of God?
Yes, with the help of God.
And Hope on the Beach Church family, would you welcome them, support them, encourage them in their journey, say yes with the help of God? Well, there's no hesitation. Welcome. All right, we continue our worship. Oh, thank you. There's the books. I was looking for those. Here's a journal book as you continue to grow in your faith to keep those notes, and then you'll have a book like Abraham, a letter to see how you grow and your family.
Thank you.
All right. I invite you to rise as we continue worship, receive our offering. You put your connection cards in there.
And now we sing.
Oh, yes. Sorry. All right, guys. I just want to send you off with a little blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace for this day and all days to come until you see him. And I just thank you, God. Thank you so much for this beautiful day. And I bless all of you today. And just go out and live his life. Live his life. All right. God bless you guys. And if anybody wants to come and help, we have a little bit of breakdown to do. And so if you guys want to come and help us, we would really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're also welcome to join a beach breakfast under pavilions. We have an opportunity to do some fellowship too.